God truly does love you. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 327. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I hope you're doing well today, and I'm very glad you're here. Welcome. We're going to read Deuteronomy 20 through 22 today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today, very aware of our need of you. We thank you that nothing is too big for you, nothing is too hard for you, nothing surprises you. Help us, Lord, in our weakness to be useful instruments for you. Help us to do whatever it is you want for us. And teach us as we read today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Deuteronomy chapter 20. When you go to war against your enemies, you may see horses, chariots, and armies larger than yours. Don't be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, will be with you. Before the battle starts, a priest must come and speak to the troops. He should tell them, "Listen, Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Don't lose your courage. Don't be afraid or alarmed or tremble because of them. The Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies and give you victory." The officers should tell the troops, "If you have built a new house but not dedicated it, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle, and someone else will dedicate it. If you have planted a vineyard and not enjoyed the grapes, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle, and someone else will enjoy the grapes. If you are engaged to a woman but have not married her, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle, and someone else will marry her." The officers should also tell the troops, "If you are afraid or have lost your courage, you may go home. Then you won't ruin the morale of the other Israelites." When the officers finish speaking to the troops, they should appoint commanders to lead them. When you approach a city to attack it, offer its people a peaceful way to surrender. If they accept it and open their gates to you, then all the people there will be made to do forced labor and serve you. If they won't accept your offer of peace but declare war on you, set up a blockade around the city. When the Lord your God hands the city over to you, kill every man in that city with your swords. But take the women and children, the cattle, and everything else in the city, including all its goods, as your loot. You may enjoy your enemy's goods that the Lord your God has given you. This is what you must do to all the cities that are far away, which don't belong to the nations nearby. However, you must not spare anyone's life in the cities of these nations that the Lord your God has given you as your property. You must claim the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites for the Lord, and completely destroy them, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Otherwise, they will teach you to do all the disgusting things they do for their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. This is what you must do whenever you blockade a city for a long time in order to capture it in war. Don't harm any of its fruit trees with an axe. You can eat the fruit. Never cut those trees down, because the trees of the field are not people you have come to blockade. You may destroy trees that you know are not fruit trees. You may cut them down and use them in blockades until you capture the city. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a person has been killed and is found lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own, and it is not known who killed him, then your leaders and judges will go out and see how far it is to the cities that are around the dead man. The leaders of the city that is nearest to the dead man will take a young cow from the cattle. The cow must never have been worked or pulled to plow. The leaders of that city will bring the young cow down to a valley with flowing water, which has not been plowed or planted. They will break the cow's neck there in the valley. Then the religious leaders, the sons of Levi, will come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to serve him and to bring good in the name of the Lord. Every question about what is right and every fight will be decided upon by them. All the leaders of that city nearest to the dead man will wash their hands over the young cow whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they will say, "Our hands have not killed him. Our eyes have not seen it. O Lord, forgive your people Israel whom you have set free. Do not put the guilt of killing a man who did no wrong on your people Israel." And they will be forgiven from the guilt of the man's death. So you must take away the guilt of taking the life of a good man by doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. When you go to battle against those who hate you, and the Lord your God gives them to you, and you make them go with you, and you see a beautiful woman, and have a desire for her as a wife, bring her home to your house. There she will cut off all the hair from her head, and cut her nails. She will change the clothes she wore when you took her away, and stay in your house. She will have sorrow for her father and mother for 1 month. After that, you may go into her and be her husband, and she will be your wife. If you are not pleased with her, you should let her go wherever she wants, and do not sell her for money or act as if she were a servant, because you have put her to shame. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other not loved, and both the loved and the one not loved have borne him sons, and if the firstborn son belongs to the wife who is not loved, on the day when that man divides what he has for his sons, he cannot make the firstborn of his loved wife the firstborn before the son of the wife who is not loved, who is the firstborn. He must respect the firstborn, the son of the wife who is not loved, by giving him twice the share of all he has. He is the beginning of his strength, and the right of the firstborn belongs to him. If a man has a strong-willed son who goes against him and does not obey his father or mother, and when they punish him he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother will take hold of him and bring him to the leaders of his city at the gate of his city. They will say to the leaders of his city, "This son of ours is strong-willed and goes against us. He will not obey us. He eats and drinks too much." Then all the men of his city will kill him with stones. You must get rid of the sin from among you. All Israel will hear about it and be afraid. If a man has sinned and should be put to death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body must not hang all night on the tree. You should be sure to bury him on the same day, for he who hangs is cursed by God. So do not make your land unclean, which the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you see another Israelite's ox or sheep out where it doesn't belong, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you take it back. If the owner doesn't live near you or you don't know who owns it, take the animal home with you. Keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Then give it back. Do the same if you find a donkey, some clothes, or anything else that another Israelite may have lost. Don't pretend that you don't know what to do. If you see another Israelite's donkey or ox lying on the ground, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you help him get back on his feet. A woman must never wear anything men would wear, and a man must never wear women's clothes. Whoever does this is disgusting to the Lord your God. Whenever you're traveling and find a nest containing chicks or eggs, this is what you must do. If the mother bird is sitting on the nest, never take her with the chicks. You may take the chicks, but make sure you let the mother go. Then things will go well for you, and you will live a long time. Whenever you build a new house, put a railing around the edge of the roof. Then you won't be responsible for a death at your home if someone falls off the roof. Never plant anything between the rows of your vineyard. Otherwise, you will have to give everything that grows there to the holy place. This includes the crop you planted and the grapes from the vineyard. Never plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. Never wear clothes made of wool and linen woven together. Make tassels on the four corners of the shawl you wear over your clothes. A man might marry a woman, sleep with her, and decide he doesn't like her. Then he might make up charges against her and ruin her reputation by saying, "I married this woman, but when I slept with her, I found out she wasn't a virgin." The girl's father and mother must go to the city gate where the leaders of the city are and submit the evidence that their daughter was a virgin. The girl's father will tell the leaders, "I gave my daughter in marriage to this man, but he doesn't like her. Now he's made up charges against her. He says he found out that my daughter wasn't a virgin, but here's the evidence." Then the girl's parents must spread out the cloth in front of the leaders of the city. The leaders of that city must take the man and punish him. They will fine him 2.25 pounds of silver and give it to the girl's father. The husband ruined the reputation of an Israelite virgin. She will continue to be his wife, and he can never divorce her as long as he lives. But if the charge is true, and no evidence that the girl was a virgin can be found, they must take the girl to the entrance of her father's house. The men of her city must stone her to death because she has committed such a godless act in Israel. She had sex before marriage while she was still living in her father's house. You must get rid of this evil. If a man is caught having sexual intercourse with a married woman, both that man and the woman must die. You must get rid of this evil in Israel. This is what you must do when a man has sexual intercourse with a virgin who is engaged to another man. If this happens in a city, take them to the gate of the city and stone them to death. The girl must die because she was in a city and didn't scream for help. The man must die because he had sex with another man's wife. You must get rid of this evil. But if a man rapes an engaged girl out in the country, then only the man must die. Don't do anything to the girl. She has not committed a sin for which she deserves to die. This is like the case of someone who attacks and murders another person. The man found the girl out in the country. She may have screamed for help, but no one was there to rescue her. This is what you must do when a man rapes a virgin who isn't engaged. When the crime is discovered, the man who had sexual intercourse with her must give the girl's father 1¼ pounds of silver, and she will become his wife. Since he raped her, he can never divorce her as long as he lives. A man must never marry his father's wife because this would disgrace his father. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread"? I don't think I'm a fool, but if I am, so be it. What I'm about to talk about needs to be addressed, especially in our current culture. Let me begin by quoting a couple of verses from the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created humans in His image. In the image of God, He created them. He created them male and female." Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and that it was very good." And then from today's reading, Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "A woman must never wear anything men would wear, and a man must never wear woman's clothes. Whoever does this is disgusting to the Lord your God." All right, let me say, the purpose of what I'm saying is not to be hateful, nor am I a transphobe. I do not hate people of either sex if they disagree with me or Scripture. And I'm not afraid, which is what phobia means. I'm not afraid of them either. My motivation in all of my teaching, not just today, but all of my teaching, is to explain Scriptures in such a way that the true nature of God is revealed. I believe that when He is properly understood, there is a very high probability that hearts will be changed and eternal lives will be saved. Failing that, my hope is that there will at least be understanding and maybe even less antipathy. When these scriptures were written, it was common for men and women to wear clothes that were similar. They both wore long robes, but they had distinctive styles that differentiated between the sexes. Deuteronomy 22:5 was a command not to blur the lines between the sexes or to purposely dress in the manner of the opposite sex. You see, as Genesis 1:27 says, God created only two sexes, male and female. There is not a spectrum. It's one or the other. Now, before you say, "But Steve, some people are born with the organs of both," I'll say, yes, that's true. I know that's true, but listen to me. Hear me. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is suffering the effects of sin. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all of creation has been under a curse. Romans 8:22 says, "All creation groans." You see, every living thing on the planet is less than God intended it to be. Humans were not meant to die. Humans were not meant to be born with any kind of defects. There was not supposed to be any disease. Every system on the planet is not what God intended. The weather is not the way God intended. Earthquakes were not supposed to be something that we worried about. Everything is broken. Sin ruined everything, including how we think about ourselves and each other. Birth defects do happen, and when a baby is born with a defect, it's not because God made it happen. It's because of the condition of the world. Yes, God allows bad things to happen, but He is not the cause of bad things happening. Well, couldn't He just step in and stop bad things from happening, you ask? Well, sometimes he does, but other times he doesn't. God is sovereign, which means that he does what he does, and he answers only to himself. He's God. But know this, his way is perfect. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Yes, one day, everyone who has ever been born will see the truth of that statement and acknowledge it. So back to the subject at hand. God says that it's wrong to dress in the manner of the opposite sex. Why? Well, I'm sure that God has a lot of reasons, but let me tell you what comes to my mind. Why? Because, for one thing, it is rebellion against God's will. If he created you as a male, he wants you to live as a male. If he created you as a female, he wants you to be a female. Listen, this is important. God truly does love you, and he has a marvelous plan for your life. He wants the very best for you. To reject that plan is really just cutting off your nose to spite your face. As I've said many times on this show, God's laws are not given to take our fun away. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He is a loving Father who knows what is best for us. He made us. Don't you think he knows what's best for us? But listen, there is an enemy. He's called Satan, the devil, the god of this world, and many other names in the Bible. His mission, from the beginning of creation, has been to pervert God's creation and keep people from having a relationship with God. He takes what is beautiful and he perverts it. What we are seeing in our culture today, with the blurring of sexual boundaries and distinctions, is nothing new, as is evident by the fact that God talks about it here in Deuteronomy 22. People today think that they're being progressive by advancing this agenda. They're not progressive. They're puppets of Satan himself. The good news is that their sin can be forgiven. God said in Ezekiel 18:23, "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" declares the sovereign Lord. "Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live?" And 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Repentance is turning away from, going in an entirely new direction. It's agreeing with God that I have sinned, that I want to begin living as he wants me to, that I acknowledge that his way is better than my way. But listen, I can't do it on my own. I can't live a perfect life on my own. It's impossible for me to live a perfect life. Only one man has ever done that, and his name is Jesus. But Jesus is more than a man. He's also God. He is fully God and fully human. And he is the only way that I or anyone else can have a restored relationship with God. John 3:16 through 21 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Beloved, God loves you, and he loves you enough to give you free will. You must decide. The time is now. If you have not yet accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus is offering you today, you can do it now. You may not have tomorrow. A couple of days ago, I was involved in a hit-and-run traffic accident, and believe me, there was absolutely no time to think about what was happening. All of a sudden, the other car was on us. Praise the Lord we were not harmed, but we could have been. You never know how or when your life will be over. Will you make the decision now to follow Jesus? If you want to have a changed life, a changed eternity, let me lead you in a prayer where you'll tell God that you want to turn from your sin and that you want to follow Jesus. Will you pray with me? I really feel that there is someone listening right now that needs to accept the Lord. Pray with me, would you? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now confessing my sins. I know that I have not lived the way I should, and I ask you to forgive me now. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to take my sins upon himself. Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior right now. Show me how I should live. Teach me. Help me to follow you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. You might have felt like a weight was lifted from you. You might have felt some strong emotion, or you might have felt nothing. Whatever you felt, that's okay. Our relationship with God is not based on emotions. Our relationship with God is based on His promise. God promised that anyone who accepts Jesus will be saved. If you accepted Jesus just now, you are saved because God promised it, and He always keeps His promise. If you did just pray that prayer with me, would you do me a favor? Would you just send me a quick email and let me know? I'm not going to put you on a list, and I'm not going to send you any spam. I would just like to know, and I'd like to pray for you. And I'll offer any help I can to help you get started on your walk with Him. If you have questions, I'll answer any that I can. Write to me, please, at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Well, beloved, tomorrow we're going to read Nehemiah, chapters 1 through 4. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm so glad you were here today. Bye.